Well, if you've got your Bible this morning, open up to James chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 16 here in a minute. Then we're going to bounce around across, you know, beginning to end of God's Word. And we're going to talk about prayer this morning. And when we begin to talk about prayer, sometimes, you know this, the conversation can get just a little bit funny. Watch this video real quick.
Some things you cannot pray for. Remember my nephew Malachi? Remember him? Mm-mm-mm. Remember that kid? My sister put in the family group text, she goes, pray for Malachi, he's having a tough day. And everybody in the group text is like, praying for Mally, we love him, supportive, praying hands, lifting him up. All I said was, I go, what's going on? And she texted me directly, you know how they backdoor text you? Yeah. She came around back, she goes, what do you mean? I go, what happened? She goes, he has tendonitis in his thumbs from holding the iPad. I go, I'm not praying for that, dude. Putting that up to the God of the universe with my name on it. Just widows, orphans, missionaries. Mally wants to watch Paw Patrol. No.
I'm not praying for that, right? I totally get the response, but it makes us ask the question, what can we pray for? Right? Or on a more basic level, what about this? Does prayer really even work? Yes. Found that when we begin to talk about prayer in a setting like this, for a lot of people, there's this initial feeling of, oh, I got to do better. Or this initial feeling of guilt. They have this thought, man, I need to be praying more. And then they sit for the entire sermon on prayer and they listen with this feeling of guilt. If that's you this morning, no, that's not the goal of our time together. If you've thought that before, if you're beginning to think that now, push that thought off and be encouraged by what God's Word has to say about prayer this morning. Last week, we looked at God's Word. We saw that it's fully trustworthy as the inspired and authoritative Word of God. We read in the Word that it will bring a life and that it will revive our souls. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. And so as I prayed about our time together on prayer this morning, my prayer was that your soul would be revived, that you would be encouraged, and that you would take to heart God's Word on drawing close to Him in prayer. Our question for this morning, you know, we're asking six questions the first 6 weeks of the year. The question is, does prayer really work? And the answer is yes. That's all we really need to say. Would you bow with me? I think we're done. Just kidding. I want to make sure that you understand that's not my answer, it's God's answer. Look at James 5:16, you've got your Bible open there. The second half of that verse says this, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is what? Working. As it's working, prayer works. The prayer of a righteous person, right? That is those that are children of God. Those prayers have great power. So hear me this morning. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, if you live as a child of God, God's Word tells you this morning that your prayers have great power. Your prayers matter. Your prayers change things. Your prayers can bring glory to God. They can bring comfort and strength and hope and peace. Your prayer has great power. Not simply because you pray them, but because of who hears them. If you're taking notes this morning, that's our first point on prayer. Number one, God listens. It's not just the slogan of KSBJ, it's the reality. Our Father wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from His children. And when He hears their prayers, those prayers have great power. It's not an isolated statement from James chapter 5. It's the reality that's confirmed throughout the entirety of the Bible, from the beginning to the end. We're going to look through God's Word a little bit. You go back to Genesis to Abraham. God tells Abraham He's going to send the Savior eventually through the line of Abraham, that His descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Well, the problem is Abraham's pushing 100 and he doesn't have any kids yet. Well, then, through the power of prayer, God gives him a son. Turn from Genesis to Exodus. Think about the people of Israel, who, by the way, is Abraham's family. They're living now in Exodus, enslaved in Egypt. You remember how they got out of Egypt? If you're thinking Moses going to Pharaoh and saying, let my people go, you've jumped ahead just a little bit, that the Bible tells us that they got out through prayer, right? That the people of Israel cried out to God. Then God goes to Moses and says, I've heard the cries, I've heard the prayers of my people. And because of that, because they prayed, because I've heard, I'm going to respond now and I'm going to deliver them. The book of Exodus, that entire thing, everything that we see lined out in that book, it was the result of the people of God crying out to God in prayer. Later in the Old Testament, we come to one of my favorite stories. It's incredible to imagine and think about what God does through the prophet of Elijah. God sends him to his people, people who have had a hardened heart, by the way. God sends him to just give a word from him to ultimately bring their hearts back to a relationship with the one true God. Elijah ends up on the top of Mount Carmel. If you've been on that Israel trip, you've been on that mountain, you've seen it, you've seen the valleys below. It's this majestic place. And there, Elijah goes head to head with 450 prophets of the false god or the idol Baal. And here's what they did on the top of that mountain. They both built altars, Elijah, and he put a sacrifice on it. The 450 prophets, and they put a sacrifice on it. And then, you know what they did? They prayed. And whichever God sent fire from heaven to consume the altar and the sacrifice, that was the one true God. Well, the 450 prophets of Baal, they prayed all day, and guess what happened? Nothing. Elijah, it was his turn. Before he prayed, he had them soak the altar and soak the sacrifice with water. He wanted what happened next to be a no-doubter, a clear result of the powerful and effectiveness of prayer before God. Elijah prayed, fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and the people of Israel knew that their God was the one true God. And that story gets even better. Before he left the top of the mountain, he prayed and asked for rain. The people of Israel, one of their punishments for rebelling against God was a drought in the land that had been over 3 years with no rain. Before he leaves the top of the mountain, he prays and he asks God for rain, and the heavens opened up. Prayer brought fire, prayer brought rain. Prayer is what? Powerful and effective. Go to the New Testament, right? Prayer doesn't slow down. Acts 16, one of my favorite chapters, Paul and Silas, they're moving through Philippi. They're ministering to people. They encounter a little girl who's possessed by a demon. Through the power of prayer, they're able to cast that demon out in the town, and the people, instead of thanking them for their ministry and helping and saving this girl, they're thrown in prison. Well, listen to Acts 16, 25. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were doing what? Praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening in. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. The prayer of God's children is what? Powerful and effective. Flip through the New Testament. You'll see sins forgiven, sick people healed and made whole. You'll see the church growing by leaps and bounds as people surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Old Testament to New Testament, the prayers of God's people are what? Powerful and effective. But this is critical for me and you to understand. The great power of prayer, it did not cease to exist when the pages of the Bible were completed. Prayer is still powerful and effective. The power in prayer is still available to the people of God today. Do you believe that? Let me ask it another way. Does your prayer life show that you believe prayer is powerful and effective? It is, not just in the pages of the Bible. Think about, you know, recent history, last 100 years or so. Someone that a lot of us probably know now is Corrie Ten Boom. You heard of her? Many of you have read her book, The Hiding Place, right? Powerful book. She lived in the Netherlands around World War II time. The Nazis invaded her country. She would mind her own business. She ran a watch shop with her family. When they were invaded, they stepped up, did what they felt God was calling them to do. They began to hide Jewish people in a little place in their shop, right? Taking care of them. Well, if you're going to read the book, I'm spoiling it now. Eventually, they were discovered. Her and her entire family was arrested. She was shipped off to a concentration camp. And when she writes in her book that she got through that experience through the power of prayer, she prayed for everything you can imagine. She prayed that she'd be able to smuggle a Bible into that camp so she could be revived by the word of God. And miraculously, in all of her searches, she was able to get a Bible in there. She tells us that she prayed for her captors on a regular basis, the people that tortured her, the people that abused her, the people that did unimaginable things to her on a regular basis. She prayed for them. God gave her a soft heart even still towards them. She prayed with thanksgiving for everything that she was experiencing and going through. She began to thank God for the fleas that were in her room because it kept the guards out. And they were able to hold Bible studies in there without fear. And then she prayed that she'd be able to minister with the grace and love of God after the war to her captors and to her fellow prisoners. And God granted that prayer in a miraculous way, a clerical error, a piece of paperwork filed the wrong way, mistakenly allowed her to be released just days before every other female her age in that camp was executed. Prayer of the children of God is what? It's powerful and it's effective. Not just in extreme circumstances, but in the seemingly random interruptions of life. I read a story in a book about a guy named Pete Craig. He tells the story about how he was stranded in Chicago at the airport. And with the storms of this week, maybe some of you were stranded at the airport trying to get where you were going. This story makes me think about all of the answered prayers that happen even in life's interruptions. Well, Pete, his life was interrupted, and so he prayed and said, God, what do you want me to do with this extra time that I have here? I'm going to have a day and a half to do nothing. Well, God put on his mind his friend Joe, who lived about 100 miles away. He'd never been to Joe's house, but he reached out to Joe and said, hey, got a day and a half. Can I come and stay on your couch tonight and spend some extra time with you? But here's what he didn't know. Joe had just gotten terrible news from the doctor. Joe, in that moment, was sitting at home with his wife, and his wife said, Joe, who do you wish was sitting on the couch right now that you could talk to? His answer was my friend Pete. But he said, that's crazy because Pete lives in England. He's never been to our house. Listen, sometimes interruptions are more than inconveniences. They are answered prayers. Why? Because the prayers of God's children are powerful and effective. We see that in our church family all the time. Just in the past few months, we've seen prayers answered in powerful ways. We've seen tumors gone. We've seen babies healed. We've seen the salvation of several of our friends and family members whose hearts were hard and far away from the Lord. We've seen marriages restored when we didn't think there was any human hope. We've seen financial needs met in unexpected ways where the only answer is God. Even our space need as a campus. You know, life groups are a big deal for us. We want everybody in a small group Bible study connecting with one another. Well, we're out of space for that. And as we prayed, God, what do we do about this? Well, we've got a great partnership with that school. They opened the doors for us. And initially said, if you ever need this building, Sundays, Wednesdays, whatever you need, we're here for you. God answered prayers in miraculous, miraculous ways. So back to our opening question. Does prayer really work? Yes. The inspired, authoritative word of God, the Bible, tells us prayer works in James 5. The prayer of the righteous has great power as it is working. The rest of the Bible confirms it, and for many of us, our personal experience and testimonies, we have seen God answer prayer. Point two this morning, it's redundant. I've said it 10 times at least on purpose. Point two is this: prayer is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective to do what? We won't understand prayer without asking that question, right? Powerful and effective to do what? It's possible, it's probable, that every person in here either has been praying or has prayed in the past specifically for God to move in a certain situation. And it hasn't happened the way we wanted. So, again, I ask, what is prayer powerful to do? A lot. Let me focus on two things. First, prayer is powerful and effective to draw us closer to God. James 4:8, draw near to God, and what's going to happen? God will draw near to you. Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Prayer helps us to know God intimately. Prayer grows our relationship with him, and on a very basic level, every growing relationship, every healthy relationship, it requires communication. Right? Think about a marriage where a husband and wife are constantly giving one another the silent treatment, where they refuse to communicate with one another. If you could speak into that marriage, what would you say? You'd say, talk to one another. You say, get some help. Right? A healthy relationship, it requires communication. Listen, our walk with God is no different. So when we pray, above all else, our desire needs to be knowing God, growing in our relationship with him. And as that happens, guess what? We learn more and more about what pleases God. And his desires become our desires. And guess what? That begins to shape what we pray for. When Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, he taught us to pray for the will of God. Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, he says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to pray for what? For the will of God in our lives and on this earth. And sometimes we miss that. I'd imagine that we've all been guilty at one moment or another of treating God like a drive-through window with this menu, and we pull up and we push a button when we have a craving or when we have an emergency, when we have something out of the ordinary going on in our life, and we place our order with God, and then we drive off. And we don't think about that window again until we have another craving or another emergency. Let's make sure that we understand this morning. God is not a button to be pushed. He's a relationship to be pursued. God created us to love us and for us to know and love him. We were designed in his image for a relationship with him. And that relationship is going to grow. It's going to develop. The intimacy is going to be there through communication. Prayer aligns our heart with God's heart. The great purpose when we go before the Lord in prayer, it's not possessions or stuff that we might get from our prayers, but it's nearness to God himself. It is enjoying God himself. Prayer is powerful and effective. To do what? To draw us close to him. Let me just say, whatever your baseline is on prayer, wherever you're at right now in your prayer journey, if you say I'm a 1 or a 10 or a negative 10 or a positive, wherever you're at, commit this week to moving forward in your prayer life. This week, commit to it for a week. Be serious, be intentional with it. And next Sunday morning, check your heart. And I'm telling you, you're going to see that prayer is powerful and effective to draw you closer to your Heavenly Father. Second, prayer is powerful and effective to do what? To give us what we need. Yes, God wants us to pray for the things that we need. Philippians 4:8. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You need something right now. I know you do, right? Every one of us needs something right now. All different situations, I get it, but we all live in the same broken world. We all have requests that we need to bring before God. Hear me this morning. Pray about those requests. In James chapter 4, verse 2, we read that oftentimes we don't have what we need because we don't ask God for what we need. Spend time in prayer for what you need. But in doing so, think for a minute about what we really need. You ever had that conversation with a kid? Trying to teach them the difference between needs and wants? We have that conversation with our kids all the time right now. Chelsea has that conversation with me all the time right now, helping us understand the difference. And I think that sometimes that God thinks about our conversations with him in the same way. Let me encourage you. When we pray for what we need, but think about that in two categories, spiritual needs and physical needs. Both of those are real. And as you think about those needs, consider the pattern of the prayers of the New Testament church, of believers in Scripture. Just take Paul's letters, for instance, to churches in the New Testament. We don't read about Paul asking God to heal bodies or fill bellies or grow businesses or end persecution. He just doesn't pray that. His prayers aren't focused on physical circumstances. He prays about heart needs, about spiritual needs. He prays that the Romans might abound in hope and know the God of peace. He prays that the Ephesians would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. He prays for the Philippians that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, and that they would have a discerning kind of love for the community around them. For the Colossians, he prays that they would have thankful hearts and go before the Lord with thanksgiving. And for the Thessalonians, he prays that in the midst of their trials, he doesn't pray that the trials would end. He prays in the midst of the worst of the worst of the worst, that they would draw close to God, remaining holy and pure and set apart in the midst of everything that they were going through. Put all the prayers of the New Testament up on a board. Categorize them. Right? A little math will show you that the overwhelming prayers of the New Testament are focused on our walks with Jesus, our hearts. I'd imagine, though, that our prayer lives today, for everybody, but probably for a lot of us, are focused more on the physical, more health-related prayer requests, relational prayers, work prayers, school prayers for our kids, financial prayers, and that's great. Again, Philippians 4:8, pray about those things. James 4:2, pray about those things. But when you pray for what you need, do not forget that above everything else, I need God to be at work in my heart. You need God to be at work in your heart. That's what we need above every other thing. Pray for spiritual things. Prayer is powerful and effective to give us what we need physically and spiritually. Don't neglect spiritual prayers. So, recapping, God listens. Prayer is powerful and effective to draw us close and to give us what we need. And then third, just remember, prayer is not only an invitation. Prayer is commanded by God to us. Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and what? Faithful in prayer. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So, what do we do? Well, what should we do? Taking God's word and seeing what he says about prayer, what should be our application this morning to the word of God? It's not a trick question. Charles got it, right? We should spend time in prayer, right? We need to go before the Lord in prayer. For many of us, we just need to push reset on our prayer life heading into 2025, or said another way, we all have room for growth in our prayer life as we head in to a new year. Let me give you some points for home, some points of application that you can take with you as you seek to grow your prayer life. Number one is this: view prayer as a delight and a joy. As I prayed over our time together this morning, I just prayed that God would shift your view, shift your perspective, your mindset on what it looks like to pray, and that you'd understand it and view it as the joy and privilege it is to know God and grow in relationship with him. Number two, prioritize prayer. Mark 1:35 says this: rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus made prayer a priority in his life on earth. You've read the Gospels. He was incredibly busy with all kinds of things. And listen, when two priorities butted up against one another, for Jesus, prayer never lost. Prioritize prayer. And that idea might sound good to you sitting in here this morning. I'm going to prioritize prayer this year. But when you get home, here's what it means. It means not doing something else that you really want to do. For some of us, maybe it's less time sleeping. That's how we're going to prioritize prayer this year. We're going to wake up earlier. For some of us, it means turning off the TV. We're going to spend our time with the Lord. For some of us, it means putting down even a good book. All right, prioritize prayer. John Bunyan says this: you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. That can be tricky for us. We're people of action. We're people that like to produce. We want to get things done. Don't forget, prayer is action. Prayer accomplishes more by itself than our work ever could. Don't let a busy day get in the way of time spent with the one that created the day or the one that woke you up to enjoy the day. Pray, right? Make room in your life, in your schedule, for what you value. Number three, establish a pattern of prayer. Just very basic things. Answer this question: when are you going to pray in your day? I suggest early in the morning before the day gets going. Where are you going to pray? I suggest you find a spot, or set it aside to have a daily time alone with the Lord in prayer. My office before the day gets going and the emails and the calls and everything else, before things get busy, that's my time to get alone with the Lord, to spend time in prayer. And then let me ask, how are you going to pray? What is your prayer life going to look like? Don't overthink this. If prayer is not your typical pattern, just remember, it's a conversation with God. If you need to pull up an empty chair across from you and imagine the Lord sitting across from you to have that conversation, do it, right? Do what you need to do to have that conversation with the Lord. And when you come before him, pray like he taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. There's some smart people that took that and made an acronym to help us have a prayer pattern based off the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to share it with you this morning, and I encourage you, if you don't have a prayer pattern, write this down and practice this prayer pattern. Give it a week of intentional prayer like this. I'm telling you, your life's going to change as you draw closer to the Lord. It's ACTS, right? An acronym for ACTS. The A stands for adoration. That just simply means coming before the Lord in worship as you get started in prayer. Praising him for his goodness, for his love, for his power over all creation. It is a moment of worship in your private prayer time. The C stands for confession. If there's sin in your life, if you're living in a way that's out of alignment with God's word, God's will, and God's way, take a moment to confess that. Every day, go before the Lord. The T stands for thanksgiving. The thankful heart. Thank God for the way that he's answered prayers. Thank God for the way that he's provided. Thank God for the people that are in your life. Thank God for his son, Jesus, and the opportunity to know him. Thank God for the hope that we have in him, for eternity with him in heaven because of Jesus. Spend time giving thanks to God. And the S stands for supplication. And that simply means taking your request to God, right? Yes, take your request to God. Ask God for what you need. We all walk through different scenarios, seasons of life. Ask God for what you need wherever you're at, according to his will, and ask him about both physical and spiritual things. It's a great pattern. If you don't have one, use it. Follow it, and it's going to increase your prayer life this year. And then finally, our last point before we close is this of application. Trust God to answer your prayers. God hears you. He responds to you. And his response is always for our good and for his glory. Now, sometimes that means that we don't hear the answer we were hoping to hear. Even still, we trust God because he always answers. Sometimes God answers with a yes. Sometimes God answers with a, you just need to wait. And it's in that waiting where there's growth and glory to God. And sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to answer that way. I have a better plan. And we don't always understand that. And if we're honest, we don't always like that. But we know that unequivocally, God is good. We know that God loves us. We know that God's word tells us in Romans 8 that he works all things out for our good, for the good of those that love him, our eternal good, our spiritual good, goodness for our souls. Think about Jesus in the garden, right before he goes to the cross. Think about his prayer. He asked the Father, God, if there's any other way, take this cup away from me. God, accomplish your will, your purposes, your plan of salvation without the suffering of the cross. But he ended his prayer with what? He says, not my will, but your will be done. And then he trusted. He trusted God with whatever the answer would be. And that's how we need to pray. And as we trust God to answer our prayers, I found this quote from Tim Keller incredibly encouraging. He writes, God will either give us what we ask for or what we would have asked for if we knew everything he knows. We can trust God to answer prayer. Why? Because the prayers of his children are what? Powerful and effective. Let's go ahead and push reset on our prayer life in 2025. Let's commit to pray. Let's do it now. Would you bow with me this morning? As we bow our heads, I just want to encourage you just really quickly before we dismiss to pray through that prayer pattern I shared a minute ago. I'll walk you through it and we can just pray together. All right, that A stands for adoration. Right? Adore God in prayer right now. Talk about his goodness. Talk about his power. Talk about his sovereignty over all of creation. Confession. There's something in your life right now. Maybe it's a sin pattern, a habit. Maybe it's an attitude. Whatever it is. If there's something in your life that's out of alignment with the word, way, and will of God, confess that to him. Tell him you're sorry. Commit in that confession to living in a way that honors him. Thanksgiving. Thank God. Whatever he's got on your mind right now, thank him for that. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a scenario. Maybe it's an answered prayer. Spend a minute thanking God. And supplication. You need something right now. Ask God for it. God knows what you need. He knows what's going on in your heart and your life, and the life of those you care about. Ask God to provide and move like only he can. Ask him for something physical. Ask him for something spiritual. Get in the habit asking God those spiritual prayers. Maybe it's the salvation of a friend. Maybe it's that your kids would know and love Jesus and grow in their relationship with him. Maybe it's for wisdom. Maybe it's for peace. Maybe it's for comfort. Maybe it's for hope. Maybe it's for joy. I don't know what it is. You do. God does. Ask him for it. Just a minute. I'm going to pray. We're going to stand up. Our worship team is going to sing one more song with us, and our pastors are going to be down front. And when we stand to sing, that'll be your invitation to come and pray. Or right, if God's doing something in your heart right now, and you're like, you know what? If God hears the prayers of his children, I want to be a child of God. If you've never trusted in Christ and that's your thought this morning, come and pray with one of us. We'd love to open up God's word and show you how you can trust in Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and just a heavy time, heavy season for you. You need prayer. Maybe you want to pray for a friend or loved one who doesn't know Christ. Maybe you want to pray over your marriage. Maybe you want to pray over your children. Maybe you want to pray over anything else that God's put on your mind. We'd be honored to pray with you in this time. Just a minute when I pray, we'll stand. That'll be your invitation to come and pray with one of us. Father, we love you. We trust you. We thank you that when we pray, you hear us. God, and that, like you said, our prayers are powerful and effective. God, help us to be a church family that goes before you in prayer. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.